Topic 144, Revelation. 1. Right through the later periods of the cycle of incarnation, wherein the man is juggling with the pairs of opposites, and through discrimination is becoming aware of reality and unreality, there is growing up in his mind a realization that he himself is an immortal existence, an eternal God, and a portion of infinity. Ever the link between the man on the physical plane and this inner ruler becomes clearer until the great revelation is made. Then comes a moment in his existence when the man stands consciously face to face with his real self and knows himself to be that self in reality and not just theoretically. He becomes aware of the God within, not through the sense of hearing, or through attention to the inner voice, directing and controlling, and called the voice of conscience. This time, the recognition is through sight and direct vision. He now responds not only to that which is heard, but also to that which he sees. From Initiation, Human and Solar, page 113. 2. Much of the true revelation since the time of Christ has come to the world along the line of science. The revelations of science, when basic and fundamental, are as divine as those of religion, but both have been prostituted to meet human demand. The era is close at hand when science will bend every effort to heal humanity's sores and build a better and happier world. The revelations of science, though focused often through one man or woman, are more specifically the result of group endeavor and of trained group activity than are the revelations of religion, so-called. Revelation, therefore, comes in two ways. 1. Through the effort, aspiration, and achievement of one man who is so close to the hierarchy and so imbued with conscious divinity that he can receive the message direct from the central divine source. He has joined the ranks of the great intuitives and works freely in the world of divine ideas. He knows his mission clearly. He chooses his sphere of activity with deliberation and isolates the truth or truths which he deems appropriate to the need of time. He comes forth as a messenger of the Most High, leads a dramatic and arresting life of service, and symbolizes in his life events certain basic truths which have already been revealed, but which he pictorially reenacts. 2. Through the effort of a group of seekers, such as the scientific investigators in every country, who together are searching for light on the problem of manifestation, or for some means to alleviate human suffering, a revelation comes. The effort of such a group often lifts upon the wings of its unrealized aspiration some one man who can then penetrate into the world of divine ideas and there find the longed-for cure or key, and thus he intuitively discovers a long-sought secret. The discovery, when of the first rank, is as much a revelation as the truths presented by the world teachers. Who shall say that the statement that God is love is of more value than the statement that all is energy? The route which the revelation then follows is the same in both cases, and illusion overtakes both forms of revelation. But, and here is a point upon which I would ask you to reflect, there is a little less illusion gathered around the revelation of what humanity calls the more definitely spiritual truths. One reason lies in the fact that the last great spiritual revelation given by the Christ was given 2,000 years ago, and the development of man's mind and his responsiveness to truth has grown greatly since that time. Again, the revelations of science are largely the result of group tension, eventually focused in one intuitive recipient, and the revelation is thereby protected. From Glamour, A World Problem, pages 187 through 189. 3. From light to light we pass, from revelation to revelation, until we pass out of the realm of light into the realm of life, which is, as yet to us, pure darkness. It will be obvious to you that this increasing light brings with it a constantly developing series of revelations, which, like all else in the world of human experience, unfolds before the eyes, first of all, the world of forms, then the world of ideals, then the nature of the soul, of ideas, and of divinity. I am choosing but a few of the words which embody the revelation and are symbolic of its character. But all these revelations constitute one great unified revelation, which is slowly unfolding before the eyes of humanity. The light of the personal lower self reveals to the man the world of form, of matter, of instinct, of desire, and of mind. The light of the soul reveals the nature of the relation of these forms of life to the world of the formless, and of the conflict between the real and the unreal. The light of the intuition unfolds before the vision of the soul within the personality, the nature of God, and the unity of the whole. The restlessness of material desire, seeking its satisfaction in the three worlds, eventually gives place to aspiration towards soul contact and soul life. This, in its turn, is recognized as a step towards those great fundamental experiences to which we give the names of the five major initiations. These reveal to man the hitherto unrealized fact of his non-separateness and of the relation of his individual will to the divine will. From Glamour, A World Problem, pages 205 through 206. 4. The mystery of the ages is on the verge of revelation, and through the revelation of the soul, that mystery which it veils will stand revealed. The scriptures of the world, we know, have ever prophesied that at the end of the age we shall see the revelation of that which is secret, and the emergence into the light of day of that which has hitherto been concealed and veiled. This, our present cycle, is the end of the age, and the next 200 years will see the abolition of death, as we now understand that great transition, and the establishing of the fact of the soul's existence. The soul will be known as an entity, as the motivating impulse, and the spiritual center back of all manifested forms. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 1, Esoteric Psychology 1, page 96. 5. The whole system of occult or esoteric revelation is based on this wonderful doctrine of interdependence, of a planned and arranged conscious linking, and of the transmission of energy from one aspect of divine manifestation to another. Everywhere and through everything is circulation, transmission, and modes of passing energy from one form to another form, and always through an appropriate mechanism. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 4, Esoteric Healing, page 615. 6. The purpose underlying revelation. Behind all the successive revelations of divinity down the ages is to be found one significant purpose. All of them are, and will prove themselves to be, aspects of the great revelation. It is through the processes of revelation that divinity is slowly dawning upon the human consciousness. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 241. 7. The objective of the evolutionary process to which all lives on our planet have to submit has been to develop this sensitivity which will make revelation possible. And it might be said that, from one definite angle, the goal of all experience has been revelation, each revelation carrying the initiate closer to the heart of the sun, wherein all things are known and felt, and through which all forms, all beings, and all things can be bathed in love. Ponder on these words, for the microcosmic correspondence to the macrocosmic fact is full of teaching value. See to it that each lesson learned each day, each revelation grasped and understood, makes your heart full of love and enables you to love your fellow men with ardent, fiery warmth. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, pages 727 through 728. 8. There have been many revelations of divine purpose down the ages, each of which uniquely altered the point of view and the pattern of living for men everywhere. From The Externalization of the Hierarchy, page 543. This is a continuation of topic 144, Revelation. 9. Once the initiate has penetrated to the point where revelation becomes possible, he automatically attains the needed fixation, concentration, poise, polarization, and focus, which will enable him to translate what has been revealed to him in symbols, which will convey significance to the intelligentsia with whom all initiates principally work. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, page 312. 10. Revelation seldom breaks in all its completed beauty into the consciousness of the disciple. It is a gradual and steadily unfolding process. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, page 321. 11. Revelation is not only the prerogative and reward of the attaining initiate, but it is increasingly taking on new forms and fresh outline for the masters who have attained. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, page 351. 12. A Catechism. What dost thou see, O disciple, on the path? Nothing but myself, O master of my life. Look closer at thyself and speak again. What seest thou? A point of light which waxes and which wanes and makes the darkness darker. Look with intense desire towards the dark, and when the light shines forth, grasp opportunity. What now appears? A horrid sight, O master of my life. I like it not. It is not true. I am not this or that. This evil, selfish thing, it is not me. I am not this. Turn on the light with will and power and fierce desire, and then recount the vision that may come. What seest thou? Beyond the dark, revealed to me by means of light, I see a radiant form which beckons me. What is this being, standing gracious in the dark and in the light? Is it, and can it be, myself? What dawns upon thy sight as thou standest on the way, O worn and tired disciple, yet triumphant in the light? A radiant shining form which is myself, my soul. A dark and somber figure, yet old and wise, experienced and sad. This is myself, my lower self, my ancient tired appearance upon the ways of earth. These two stand face to face, and in between the burning ground. They move and merge. The path comes to an end. The way stretches before. Sight is attained, and in the light reality appears. What canst thou now reveal, O server on the way? Revelation comes through me, O Lord of life. I see it not. Why canst thou see it not? What hinders apprehension? Nothing hinders me. I seek not sight, for I have seen. My task is revelation. I seek nothing for myself. What comes thy way for revelation? what hast thou to reveal? Only that which has for eons long existed, and has for I been here, the oneness of the presence, the area of love, the living, loving, wise, inclusive one, enfolding all, and being all, and leaving nothing outside. To whom must come this revelation, O server of the world of living things? To all enfolded in the living, loving presence, to those who all unknown to them maintain that presence, and forever shall endure as doth that presence. And who are those who live within that presence but know it not? They are myself and thou, and still they are myself, and still are all I meet. It is the one in every form who think, perhaps, that form is all, who living thus in time and space see not the light of life within the form, who hide within, behind the veils, between the four and five, the four kingdoms in nature and the kingdom of God, and see nothing else. To them I must reveal the truth. How will you do this hardest of all tasks, O triumphing disciple? By letting it be seen I am myself the truth, by living as a fragment of that presence and seeing all its parts, and thus is revelation brought into the four and by the fifth. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, pages 302 through 303. See also the topic Teachings on Initiation, and see Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, pages 241 through 439, and pages 438 through 439, and page 443.